Amplified Version does a little more than our responsive reading. And it's not something people talk about very much because it's hard to believe things could get more difficult in these areas of interpersonal relationships. But I want to talk about the forgotten sign of the last days, end times. And Jesus talking to his disciples and said, "And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they sought and ought to trust and obey. And they will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred." Many will be offended. And I have to tell you, I'm sick and tired. In fact, I'm offended by people who are offended. You feel that way? I don't know how to say that better than that, but everybody's offended about everything. I had a couple this week who wrote up a review of us, and they were offended by the prayer for the evening meal. And they said, this website is misleading. This is a religious institution of some kind. And we had to wait through a prayer in order to get our dinner. And they talked to me while they were here. So and I guess that was actually last week, but they wrote it up this week. And then I got another letter from a lady that said, "You prayed for the evening meal, but you did not say the name of Jesus, and I'm offended." I don't know. But it almost feels to me like people are looking for something to be offended by. Well, that offends me. I don't want to give up on news because I'm kind of a news junkie. I like to know what's going on. But what we're talking about most of the time is who's offended by what. And we distort people's views in this political cycle we're in. At least 50% are offended by anything that's said by the other 50%. And it goes both ways. It's not just on one side here. Many in the last days will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And as I look at the events of the last few weeks, I just want to ask us, how do we react as Christians to the world news, to the fear and hatred that's going on all over the world? I'm struggling to find a place to do my missionary retreats overseas, where I don't think I'm inviting 250 missionaries into an event that they'll blow us up. I eliminated one moderate Muslim country this week, saying I don't think we can go there. We would be far too much of a target. So we've got terrorists everywhere. There are 900 plus ISIS investigations going on in the U.S. today. We're going to bring another 10,000 Syrian refugees in, almost none of them Christian. Now, the Christians are the one that's been being beheaded, been killed. Their children are being asked in front of the parents, "Will you renounce Christianity?" And when they say no, they're cutting their heads off in front of their parents. As a parent, that overwhelms me. I'm amazed. And maybe I'm affected by our recent tour of Auschwitz and Birkenau. And to think in my lifetime, there was terror in the world, in that part of the world. 6 million Jews killed, 1,400,000 at Auschwitz and Birkenau. I saw a room 60 feet long, 20 feet deep, or 20 feet back and 12 feet deep, with just the children's shoes, the baby shoes, that were left over from the last few weeks of the massacres and desecration that went on there. And so how does our faith relate to this? So much of Christianity that we see today is sort of Christianity light. We were born into a country that's mostly Christian. Our parents were Christian for the most part. Our culture supports Christianity. Real estate people and salesmen and folks who want to network We'll go to church because that's the place to go. I understand that. Want to be able to say, yes, I go to that church. But we got political divisions that I think are the worst I've ever seen. We've got religious hatred between denominations. I mean, it's not just Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and Christians. It's Christian. We got Westboro Baptist Church that is off the charts in terms of hatred of everybody but them. And we've got denominations that think nobody's going to heaven but them, that form almost cult-like loyalty to their stuff. We've got racial tension. I'll get to the good stuff in a minute. Okay. We got racial tension. Some of you are saying, oh, God. I'm like the news, aren't I? That's how I feel when I finish 30 minutes of a news cycle. We've got racial tension that I think is the worst I've ever seen. And I grew up when there was segregation, and I'm sure it was worse on the other side, but we didn't see it that way. Just a chaotic world. Democrats don't like Republicans. Republicans don't like Democrats. Independents don't like anybody. I don't know how to fix all that. African Americans and Buddhists and Hispanics and whites and but here we are. We're born into Christianity. And have we really thought through how we relate to all of this? I guess is where I wanted to get to, and maybe I did this for me. Does our Christianity take precedent over being a Republican or a Democrat or a Baptist or an American? Do we fight for our rights? I've got a friend that's a prepper. It's just an interesting way of looking at things. He's storing food. He's got a generator that's not dependent on transistors. He bought an old car that doesn't have electronics. He's storing gas. And I said, I'm so glad because I'm coming to your house. But if I've got all that, if I got jars of peanut butter in a secret closet, and I look out and you're emaciated and look like you're starving to death and standing in the yard, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you peanut butter. I just don't see a sane position to go forward in the world today. Does our Christianity relate to all of this? They're making it a matter of Christianity as to whether or not we take 10,000 Syrians in as refugees. If we're a Christian nation, we welcome everybody. I heard somebody say this way. But terrorists are standing people up and shooting them when they can't quote a Muslim confession of faith. That's happening today. And it's been happening for a while. Children being beheaded maybe is the worst of that in front of their parents. Could we stand that? Would you want to say to your kids, just renounce Jesus? I know you don't mean it, but you can stay alive that way. Just say, Allah Akbar. Don't know. Churches are being burned. I'm in a lot of mission networks, and I got all kind of reports this week. I posted a couple of them of churches that were just raided with people were there, and churches burned, and people disappear. Believers are imprisoned. And what I worry about is we know more about sports and politics than we do about the Bible. We're more familiar with the world around us than we are God's plan for the future. We want short sermons and good music. We want to be entertained. We want to hear positive phrases about a good life that we can have if we talk to Jesus. We want to feel good and go home. And I prepared for this by listening to a couple of television evangelists. And what they say is a lie. That everything's going to be okay. If you just send us money, mostly is what it gets to. You just trust God. Everything's not going to be okay in that kind of sense. So what does our faith have to do with our life Monday through Saturday? And I'll try not to keep you too long with that. You know, the deal is I'm not sure it's worse today. I think these things have always happened, but we know about it today. By the time we heard most things, it was history. But that's not true anymore. We hear it when it's going on. We'll say there are hostages in these restaurants. And we're getting to see pictures via satellite of the things that are happening as they're happening. We're not isolated from it. You know, if somebody 100 years ago, 20 miles away, there was some bad event, we'd hear about it in a day or two. But we didn't hear about it while it was going on. Now we hear all of this stuff as it's happening. Our communication has stepped it up. And so it's easier to be drawn in emotionally to hostages being held in a Radisson Hotel in Mali because it's going on still now. And so I think it is going to affect us more emotionally than we thought. And I guess that's how I felt about my visit to Auschwitz in Birkenau last month. I didn't know about that. We didn't know about that. And we go back now, and there's a way to say, well, that's ancient history. That happened in the 1940s. But I was born in 1941, and it happened in my lifetime. And to go in there and look at rooms full of eyeglasses where they said, take everything off. They stripped these folks down. They took their shoes. They sent everything they could back to the war effort. And they put them in gas chambers, and we saw the canisters. And their problem was they couldn't burn the bodies fast enough. They could kill them faster, but they couldn't dispose of the bodies as fast as they wanted to. Because they couldn't do mass graves for over a million people. That's a lot of people. And it happened in my lifetime. So what's going on is probably not as new, but we know about it. And I guess it's globalization. We used to say things like, well, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? But now our economy is related to the economy in China. We've globalized to the effect that America can't just become isolationist and withdraw and say we're surrounded by water, so we're going to be okay. It's all coming here, and we're going there, and we're involved in all of these places. So many will be offended and will betray one another and hate each other. But the Bible says many times, in fact, every time an angel appeared, the Bible said, don't be afraid. The angel had to say, fear not. And I guess that's what I wanted to get to. That's the better news today. He's not given us a spirit of fear, we're told, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the fact that God is in charge of the world, this is all pretty predictable if you want to read Matthew 24 today sometime. And the Bible says Jesus is going to come back and rule on the earth. That all of these kingdoms will come under his domain. I love the scripture that says, the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and the sky. Isn't that good? Everybody's going to know about Jesus. So I just think we ought to be studying, paying a little more attention to what the Bible promises. We should be laying up treasures in heaven, not living as though earth is going to be okay. We should be setting our affections there. We should know that there is a battle going on between good and evil, and we have a part to play in that if it's just prayer. And I say just prayer. I don't mean to minimize that. But there's right and wrong. In Daniel 9, Daniel is in Babylonian captivity, and as a prophet, he asked for God's input into what's going to happen. And then in a spirit of prophecy, he describes nations as a battle between beasts battling each other. They rage, they make war. They hate those who are among them who are Christians. And a part of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9. And Daniel 9 ends with the second coming of the Lord, this coming of the King of Kings. And he sets up a superior, supreme kingdom where everything comes under him. And then as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. There'll be no more ISIS, no more Putin, no more Queen Elizabeth, no more Assad, no more Chancellor Merkel, no more Barack Obama for that matter. No more Caesars, no more Hitlers. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is going to reign, and we're going to reign with him. We're here now in reigning training. We're here to get ready for what's coming. No more famines, no more global chaos. There'll be no more war. They'll make war no more. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. I long for those days of peace. We always kidded about those ladies on Miss America and what your what's going to be your motive, what's going to be your focus of your reign if you were to be Miss America. World peace. You think, how dumb. Boy, I long for world peace. If something could be done about it, but all we can do so much of the time is pray, prepare our hearts, fear not, don't get caught up in there's no hope. We need to remember that nothing can stop God's plan from bringing about his kingdom. It's not going to be thwarted in any way. All is not lost. That's you almost get the feeling that way sometimes if you just listen to the news. I turned the news off one day this week and just went to some Bible promises that I keep a collection of in my iPad. What this means and what the Bible says is when you see all this happening, rejoice because the end is near. I go back to that great G.K. Chesterton quote. There comes to all men ultimately the awareness that this earth is the wrong place. And this was not meant to be paradise. This is the elevator ride to the penthouse. This is the train trip to the resort. This is not home, and we're not going to be able to fix it. I think it's an incredibly presumptuous position for anybody to want to be president of the United States and say, and I'll fix things. Because I'm not sure things are fixable anymore. When I was a sophomore in college, I thought I could. I just was in charge. But I've given up on that position. I don't know what to do today. I don't know how to fix things. But I pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I long for that time when there's no more war. When there's no weapons of war. When there's no dirty bombs. When there's no chemical warfare. When there's no famines to worry about and there's no refugees who don't have food or a place to lay down. But our faith is not based on a bunch of Navy SEALs fixing this. What I read, it seems to me it just keeps getting worse. In the end, many will be offended. They'll betray one another and there'll be a lot of hatred. The war against ISIS and against the Taliban, it's not a matter of putting the right guy in the presidency as our commander-in-chief. I'm not sure it can be fixed. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist because I think that means Jesus is coming back. But when enemies, when crazy people get atomic bombs, it's time for the Lord to come back or the earth is going to become uninhabitable. And that's what I see happening. The battle is won when Jesus comes back with all of his angels and establishes his kingdom. And he rules forever and ever and ever. So pray. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Some. Stay in touch with the supernatural. Talk to God. Listen to some good Christian music. Love others. Love your neighbor. Love God. Hate evil, have faith, pray for miracles, pray for our country, pray for elections, pray for safety for those who are overseas defending us. But look up, because our redemption is drawing near. Jesus is going to come back, and I pray even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Revelation says that in the last days, when Satan realizes that his time is short, he rages even more. And it almost seems to me that that's what's happening today. People are more stirred up than they've ever been. Maybe we just know about it more. But I would remind you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That God is in charge. There was a little cute little song we used to sing that I don't remember how it goes anymore. But it says, I read the back of the book and we win. And in this case, that's a good place to go and start and then get the rest of it. And so our ultimate victory is assured because we're children of God. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about anything separating us from the love of God. We don't have to worry that we won't have the military might and power and will to save the world. That's kind of been America's position, you know, we'll save the world. And all of a sudden we see, I don't know that we've got the collective will to try to save the world anymore. Let's try to save ourselves. Seems to be more of the feeling of the people. I don't know that we have the will to help other people like we used to. That's their problem. Let the Sunnis and the Shiites just kill each other off, you know. Let's give both of them more guns and we'll stay out of their way. But we need Jesus to come back. And we're encouraged to pray that way. We're encouraged to do everything we can to see that the gospel is preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's a part of all those passages in there too. So that's my rant. I do think Jesus is coming back. I think it's closer than when I started thinking that. And I long for the day when I live in a kingdom of peace where there's no desires I have that are unmet. There's no fear that I have of tomorrow. There's no tension in all of the areas that we've talked about here. And the lion lays down with the lamb. That's why we named that building to my left, the lion and the lamb. I just love that imagery of there not being problems on the earth anymore. And that's God's plan. That's where we started. Man rebelled. And the second Adam has come to redeem us back, reconcile us to God, and assure us that he's coming again. He's preparing a place for us that we can be with him forever. I long for that day, and I say, Maranatha, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity to prepare your hearts for communion this morning. I just ask that you bow your heads for a few minutes and ask God to guide you. Take away any fear you may have of world events. People were talking to me this week about afraid to go to ball games, afraid to get on an airplane, afraid to... And the terrorists are winning at that point. I just don't know that we can live that way very, very well. But let's pray that that the Lord will give us guidance, wisdom, and strength, and that he'll come soon. Spend a few moments in prayer.